This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we raise our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, giving them a biblical worldview perspective of history as well as current events. We want to be sure we apply a biblical worldview to every subject that we give our children. That's why the Christian discipleship curriculum we produced as part of the Generations ministry. Steve Vaughn in studio with us today as we come back to the history of abortion in America and the history of Planned Parenthood now receiving a new president. And we're going to talk about the new president of Planned Parenthood in just a moment, which indicates, again, a slow but steady destructive force going on in the Planned Parenthood organization as well. Why do we discuss Planned Parenthood? Because Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in America and the most prolific serial killer in this country. And I think we need to remember this from time to time. We can't just drive by a Planned Parenthood center in America and ignore it. We have to point out to our children what's going on in our country. Don't just accept these institutions as important institutions that make something of Americana. We need to be sure that we explain to our children what these organizations are. Now, our children were delighted to discover that the Planned Parenthood in Parker, Colorado, closed up its doors a couple of weeks ago, and my daughter pointed that out to me. But again, that's not the end of Planned Parenthood. They actually are building bigger centers, mostly in African-American neighborhoods, sadly, where they apparently are receiving more business or hope to receive more business. Well, Planned Parenthood is the most prolific serial killer in the country, so I think we need to come back to it from time to time. We don't just ignore it. Imagine Christians in the Netherlands or Christians in Germany in the 1940s ignoring the fact that 6 million Jews were being destroyed in their own countries in something like Planned Parenthood centers or gulags, places like Auschwitz. Certainly the Germans, the German Christians and the Dutch Christian and the Polish Christians should have been aware of the fact that there was extreme evil going on as a part of the German social culture and the German government's policy. And so this, my friends, is what's going on in this country as well. So be sure to explain to your children that there are serial killers in this country that are running loose. And Planned Parenthood is one of the most prolific serial killers in this country. They perform something like 300,000 abortions a year, which over a period of 20 years would average out to 6 million babies over the last 20 years, meaning from roughly 1998 to 2000 or 2018, we've seen something like 6 million babies slaughtered in Planned Parenthood abortuaries around this country. And if Planned Parenthood has destroyed 6 million babies over a period of 20 years, that's not unlike the career of Adolf Hitler, who killed something like 6 million Jews in the 1930s and 1940s. So I think, you know, Planned Parenthood will be remembered into infamy, even as the Nazi Third Reich is remembered into infamy as that organization that took down 6 million innocent lives and became one of the most prolific mass murderers of all history. Planned Parenthood will be in that ranking. Planned Parenthood will be one of the most egregious murderers in all of history, as recorded by honest historians in the upcoming centuries.
Yeah, and just remember that our illustrious president, as well as our Republican Congress, signed on the budget bill that funded this killing by $500 million.
Yeah, another $500 million to Planned Parenthood. And I would say that Planned Parenthood is the most powerful force of darkness in this country outside of the federal government of the United States that funds these terrible crimes in many instances, not just in the case of Planned Parenthood, but they provide for abortifacient funding and through Obamacare and other forms. So it's not just Planned Parenthood that bears all the weight, but Planned Parenthood is certainly one of the, if not the most powerful force of darkness in our private institutions or quote unquote charitable institutions across this country today. Planned Parenthood would certainly be near the top of the list of those powerful forces for the cause of Satan and for the cause of the powers of darkness outside of the federal government of the United States. The federal government of the United States, of course, is much more culpable to the utter destruction of human life going on across this country. So we would put much, much fault at the feet of the federal government of the United States and those budgets signed by many Republican and Democratic presidents of the United States. Well, Planned Parenthood now receives a new president, and her name is Dawn Ligonce, and she takes the place of Cecile Richards. Evidently, this month, Dawn Ligonce will officially take over the position as president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And she has now emerged as the interim public face to Planned Parenthood and will become the president of Planned Parenthood. And the unique thing about Dawn Ligonce is she is a lesbian. In addition to her work with Planned Parenthood, Ligonce is a member of the board of directors of LPAC, the first lesbian political action committee, with the mission of advancing women's and LGBTQ equality by working to influence the current political and social landscape and to give lesbians a real and meaningful seat at the political table. She was a speaker at a lesbian conference just this last month. And in her private life, Ligonce is described as the mother of triplets with her female partner she helped to raise. Well, we'll be back in just a moment to discuss the future of Planned Parenthood in just a moment.
There is nothing our nation and our families need more than the Word of God. Do you want to build a family that will stand? Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock of Jesus' own words, and his house stood through the raging storms of wind and flood. In a world where families are coming apart at the seams, where there is little generational faith continuity, let's build our families on the rock of God's Word every day. Generations is sponsoring the Bible Family Conference on August 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C. with speakers Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, Steve Green, Joel Beakey, Douglas Bond, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We have organized tours that will feature this nation's biblical Christian roots, and we have secured tickets to the new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum. Take your family through this museum and check out a huge collection of Bible artifacts, amazing archaeological discoveries, and a Bible in American history exhibit. It's the ultimate family vacation to Washington, D.C. this August. The Bible Family Conference happens the week of August 7th, sponsored by Generations.org. Register at Generations.org. That's Generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast as we discuss Planned Parenthood and the legacy that Planned Parenthood has brought to this country, engaging in a pogrom or a genocide that has involved at least 6 million lives over the last 20 years, matching the sheer evil of Adolf Hitler. This is the extent of evil to which this nation has descended, my friends, and of course, largely funded by the federal government of the United States of America. But don't be discouraged, friends. These things are gone just like that. Even as Adolf Hitler committed suicide in that bunker, that ended the worldview of the evolutionary eugenics, at least the brand that Adolf Hitler brought to the nation. And Psalm 37 reminds us that the evildoers shall be cut off. Those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. I have seen the wicked in great power, even as Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion forces completely dominate the U.S. government. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. He used to be around somewhere. Where'd he go? It seemed like all that abortion, that homosexuality, that feminism, that evolutionary racism was dominating all of our institutions about 20, 30 years ago. But Steve, where did it go? Where is it? It was around. Where did it go? He passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Why? Because God is on the throne. Why? Because God is judge of the earth. Why? Because Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is bringing his enemies under his footstool, one by one, by one, by one, throughout history. You can count on it. Believe it. God the Father has made this one who is crucified both Lord and Christ, and he is on the right hand of the Father. Believe in Jesus today. Amen?
Amen. And one of the things that God seems to tend to do is wait until it gets to its utmost, the worst that it can be,
yeah,
and then he destroys it. You take a look at the flood eight people were left. Mm-hmm. When he came and talked to Abraham, said, you will be entering into this land, but the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full.
Mm-hmm.
And so he waits until it's full. He waits until the iniquity of the world is full when he comes and is crucified on a tree. It was as worst as it could get, and now we get, and he does this over and over again.
It's interesting that the new president of Planned Parenthood is a lesbian, and it seems to me that Planned Parenthood and LGBT have been partners for a long time. We were down at the Denver Planned Parenthood about a year ago, I'm going to say, at a rally, and we were protesting, of course, on the streets there for the shedding of innocent blood going on in these abortuaries, and much like what we saw at Auschwitz during World War II. Hopefully somebody was out in front of Auschwitz demonstrating. I'm hoping there was somebody with a little sign somewhere. Well, we want to be sure that the Planned Parenthoods across America receive some notice, preferably somebody calling somebody to repentance on our streets today. Well, we were out there in front of the Planned Parenthood, and there's a big old sign in one of the windows indicating their support for LGBT. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, Planned Parenthood and LGBT have been best friends for a long time. I'm not sure why homosexuality and abortion seem to be best friends. They seem to grow together. They seem to be, twins. Mm-hmm. Birds of a feather flocking together, peas in a pod. Abortion and homosexuality seem to have some relationship. I'm not sure I've figured out this relationship. Obviously, people who have abortions don't have kids, and homosexuality isn't very good at conceiving kids. So there's this anti-children perspective that comes into play. There's a drying up of sexuality. There's a destruction of human productiveness in the homosexual and the abortion thing. And of course, the more you embrace homosexuality, the less likely you are to have children and the less likely you are to provide for the future. And so homosexuality and abortion are excellent at drying up the worker to retiree ratio and being sure that the Social Security system will be utterly bankrupt by the year 2030. In other words, as birth implosions occur, we see that people are living for themselves, are living selfish lives for themselves. All they're interested in is a hedonistic lifestyle in which they are feeding themselves and providing all of their sensual needs or sensual wants. And in the process, they're basically saying, quote unquote, to hell with the next generation. This is the John Maynard Keynes perspective as well, who creates the fractional reserve banking systems, the massive debt loads upon most of the modern nations. And they're sure also to implode the birth rates at the same time so that the complete destruction of economic systems will happen by 2030.
Yeah, but it seems as though just before the break, I heard you say that Don LeGans has kids.
Yeah.
That she has triplets, which is kind of interesting.
It is. It is. Yeah. Well, I think that the early feminists moved in this direction of lesbianism as well.
Yeah.
And Eleanor Roosevelt, of course, dabbled in lesbianism. That's now obvious.
Mm-hmm.
There is access now to the 4,000 plus letters Eleanor Roosevelt exchanged with her lesbian friend, Lorena Hickok.
Mm-hmm.
And these letters are widely available today. But the letters included descriptions of lesbianism, or what the Bible calls vile affections in Romans 1. So Eleanor Roosevelt, the prototype feminist of the 1930s and 40s, I mean, she is the goddess of modern feminism. And of course, given to lesbianism. And she attended a school in London called Allenswood Academy when she was 15 years of age, and submitted to the instruction of a lesbian teacher named Marie Silvestre at the Allenswood Academy in London. And that sadly set the direction for this corrupted lifestyle for Eleanor. But so it's not unusual to find feminism directing its way towards lesbianism. This is the inevitable end of feminism. As feminism is sold to the evangelical churches, as Christian families give way to feminist urges, you know that the daughters and the granddaughters will be lesbians in these families. Now, maybe not all of them, but that's the direction that feminism will take you. Feminism will take you towards lesbianism and, of course, to the sin of abortion or the killing of an unborn child. You're right. Cecile Richards also had three kids. The previous president of Planned Parenthood had three children, as well as Don LeGans. She has got three children as well. And I don't think Margaret Sanger would be happy. So there's an irony here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Margaret Sanger was a big fan of Malthusian ideas. Margaret Sanger wanted a limitation of the birth rate because she saw there to be a population problem in the world. And she borrowed heavily from Malthus, who was a 19th century cleric of some sort, but again, a horrible, horrible apostate of the day, who published an essay on the principle of population in 1798, I believe it was. And here's a quote from Malthus. All children born beyond what would be required to keep up the population to a desired level most necessarily must perish.
Wow.
So in other words, these kids, beyond what government or what the philosopher kings of the day are going to impose, they must die. These kids must die. This is the Reverend Malthus writing in 1798. He said, hey, all children born beyond what would be required to keep up the population to a desired level must necessarily perish unless room is made for them by the deaths of grown persons. That is, you can kill the elderly or you can kill the younger ones. Either way, take your choice. Either euthanasia or abortion / infanticide. We should facilitate, he said. We should facilitate this instead of foolishly and vainly endeavoring to impede the operation of nature in producing this mortality. So let's start the killing. Let's start the killing now. You know, this is Malthus writing in 1798, and he's got the evolutionary worldview, the faithless worldview that doesn't realize that God provides what we need. And he can provide through this Earth's resources well beyond what we could ever imagine or think. And that, of course, is something beyond the faithless minds of these humanists who were writing in the early 19th century. Malthus's disciples believed if Western civilization was to survive, the physically unfit, the materially poor, the spiritually diseased, the racially inferior, and the mentally incompetent had to be suppressed and isolated or even perhaps eliminated. His disciples felt the subtler and more scientific approaches of education, contraception, sterilization, and abortion were more practical and acceptable ways to ease the pressures of the alleged overpopulation.
Yeah, and again, alleged overpopulation. Even what Paul Ehrlich thought that the world could only handle about 1 billion people.
Yeah, now we're at 7 billion.
Yeah, and it seems like we're not running out of food because we have an obesity problem.
Yeah, it's a huge obesity problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, G.K. Chesterton said, if Darwinism is the doctrine of survival of the fittest, then eugenics is the doctrine of survival of the nastiest. And that's precisely what you find with Margaret Sanger and Malthus and others. Margaret Sanger would speak of eliminating certain strains of humans, which she referred to as, quote, a dead weight of human waste and the stocks that are most detrimental to the future of the race and the world. She talked about the extermination of human weeds and inferior races. And she went so far in her book in 1920, Women in the New Race, she wrote, the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. So in other words, hey, you got a family of 3 kids, 4 kids, kill one of them. Now, my question is Cecile Richards following through on this? She's got 3. What about Don LaGanz? Is she going to follow through on this? Again, let's quote Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm not telling them to do this. Margaret Sanger is telling them to do this. Margaret Sanger, their sainted founder of Planned Parenthood some 70, 80 years ago, wrote the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. Now, has Don LaGanz followed through on this with the youngest, perhaps, of her 3 kids? Now, she's got triplets. She's going to have to choose one, according to Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, because
you got to keep that birth rate under 2.0 or 1.6 or whatever it is.
2.1, I think. So
is it 2.1? Yeah, she's at 3. That's a problem, according to Margaret Sanger. See, I, what I'm sensing here is an inconsistency in worldviews. What do you think? Think Don LaGanz would kill one of her 3 kids?
I would say probably she would die for one of her 3 kids.
Well, why is she killing everybody else's kids?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I guess that's my question. Why is she killing everybody else's kids? Sadly, the nastiest has survived for about 75 years. As G.K. Chesterton said, if Darwinism is the doctrine of survival of the fittest, then eugenics is the doctrine of survival of the nastiest. and organizations like Planned Parenthood have survived for about 75 years. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is on the throne.
Amen.
And the reason why the nastiest will not survive is because God is in the heavens, God is on his throne, and Jesus is ruling on the right hand of the Father until all of his enemies are placed under his footstool. You do not take the life of one created in the image of God. You do not defile the image of the true and living God and do it to the tune of 6 million babies over a period of 20 years and not receive the judging hand of Almighty God upon you. I think it's time for Planned Parenthood Federation of America to fear the true and living God. He will vindicate this, and he will bring them down. Now, we would call for the repentance and the true faith of people like Cecile Richards and Don Ligons, that they would fall on their face before Jesus and ask for his forgiveness for their sins. It's not too late. Indeed, Jesus will bring every work into judgment, and indeed, he will bring the wicked down. He will bring the old man down in the case that Don Ligons is saved. Let's say she is regenerated. She's made a new creature in Christ. What happens to the old man? Crucified. Dead. Killed. So we're looking for the destruction of the old man and the resurrection of the new man in Don Ligons and in Cecile Richards. So again, we're offering the mercy, and we realize that, you know, God has had mercy on us, and he could have mercy on Don Ligons if she would repent of her sins and realize that her sins are dragging her down to hell, her sins of lesbianism, her sins of providing for the murder of tens of millions, or at least millions of little ones. If she would repent of her violation of the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, the commandments of God, and seek mercy at the cross of Jesus Christ, she will find it. And that applies to anybody listening to this radio program right now. Now, as we end the program, I encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a book that summarizes the issues of family and sexuality, some of the more controversial issues, but certainly the flagship issues of our day. If you would like to understand what the Word of God has to say about some of these issues, as in the case of homosexuality, of the case of abortion, we take these things up in my little book, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. I think it's only $8 or $9, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Get yourself educated on what the Word of God and what historical Christianity has said about these issues. These are the landmark, flagship discussion issues of the day. These are the points at which the modern apostasy is turning against Christ. And so be sure you understand the issues that are at stake in the day in which we live. Get a copy of the book, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.